Chapter 3. The Watches That Lend Time.
Doctor, what are you doing?
Asked Vanessa. She had brought the doctor to her important client meeting, just like he had asked. The doctor did not answer and continued to search the meeting room. The people who were sitting around the huge table in the middle of the room were confused. They watched the doctor search along the walls and the windows, and then around the drinks cupboard.
Doctor, Vanessa said, we have to start this meeting now. Please could you sit down and do that later, while we win some business that will bring £300 million to the bank?
Oh, yes, of course, he said,
and he sat down just as the American clients arrived. The first presentation started well. Andrew Brown had spent a lot of time preparing his presentation, and it was very good. But then one of the American women said,
When Morgan Stanley gave us their presentation, they talked about the tax laws.
The tax?
Andrew asked, and he smiled in a very strange way.
The tax laws in Delaware, she repeated. They're extremely important.
Andrew Brown made his smile nicer.
Oh, yes, he said. I've actually prepared a document about that. Just give me a moment and I'll be right back with it.
It really was only a moment. The clients were very impressed. In less time than it would take to walk down the hall, he came back carrying the documents. He gave them to the Americans, who looked at them and smiled. The doctor looked at Vanessa.
Your team is very fast, he said.
Then Samira gave her presentation. When the clients asked a difficult IT question, she left the room for a few seconds and returned to give an excellent demonstration. Everyone clapped when she finished, and Andrew Brown looked at her like he hated her.
That was great, said
one of the American men, smiling.
Amazing! The best birthday gift ever!
It's your birthday? Samira asked. But of course! We've got a cake for you. Just wait here.
The clients thought she was joking. She was not. The doctor guessed that she left the room for 12.8 seconds, and then she returned with a huge cake with the words Happy Birthday, Greg, on the top.
That's impossible, said the doctor to Vanessa.
It's all because, thanks to me, my managers are all excellent at managing their time, said Vanessa.
I'm sure it is, said the doctor.
He stared hard at her face. And I'm going to learn what managing time means in Lexington International Bank.
Would you like some birthday cake, doctor?
Asked Vanessa. The doctor suddenly smiled warmly.
Yes, please. I never say no to birthday cake.
He took a piece and, with his mouth full, said,
This cake is amazing. I don't know where Samira got it from, or should I say when. I have to tell Amy. May I?
The doctor pulled the phone from Vanessa's hand.
Voicemail.
Pond, he said. You have to get up here right now. It's important. Come up to the 10th floor right now.
When her phone rang, Amy did not answer it. She was in Samira Jenkins's office, looking through Samira's desk for evidence. If the managers were suddenly working extra hard, perhaps harder than was actually possible, the evidence for how they were achieving it all must be in one of these offices. Samira's desk was filled with papers and receipts. They were not very interesting, except how strange. The receipts showed that Samira had bought lunch 5 times in 2 hours yesterday, all at the same shop. Then Amy found a notebook with lists of dates and clothes. Amy looked at today. Tuesday, dark blue suit, pink blouse, tiny green mark on left pocket.
"What do you think you're doing?" said a voice.
Samira was back from her meeting. Amy stood up suddenly and hit her head on the desk.
"I," she said, "look, it's not what it looks like."
Amy noticed that Samira was wearing a dark blue suit and a pink blouse with a tiny green mark on the left pocket. Samira reached for the phone.
"I'm going to call someone and they'll make you leave," she said.
Amy saw something on Samira's wrist. It was a watch, or something like a watch, with several dials moving at different speeds. Amy knew that she was looking at alien technology. She tried to hold Samira's wrist so she could get a better look at the watch.
"What's this, Samira?" she said. "I'm sure it's something you don't want your bosses to know about."
"No!"
shouted Samira and pulled her hand away.
"You're a time traveller," said Amy.
"It's just for work," Samira said.
"How did you know?"
"I'm a time traveller too," said Amy.
Samira did not say anything more about calling anyone. She seemed happy to have someone to talk to.
"Don't you think," asked Samira, "that eating lunch is a real problem? I forget how many hours I've spent awake and what I've already eaten. I spend so much money on sandwiches."
"I think I time travel in a different way from you. How does your watch work?" asked Amy.
"It's really easy," Samira said. "You just turn this dial here to get more time. I suppose I should do it less often, but there's so much to do. Andrew Brown is trying to get the same promotion as me, and I want that job. For a while, I was winning, but these last few weeks, he's got ahead of me. I think he's got a watch too. Who do you borrow your time from?"
"Borrow?" said Amy.
Then her phone started ringing.
"Pond," said the doctor's voice. "You have to come here right now."
"Doctor, I can't. I..."
Amy said.
"Oh, it doesn't matter. It's too late."
He ended the call.
"I've missed something important," Amy said in a worried voice.
"It sounds," said Samira, "like you need to borrow some time."